What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back, All the Smoke, New York edition.
What's up, bro? You got the cocaine's on today, huh?
Yeah.
Your palms sweaty?
I don't know.
You don't know?
We ain't gonna find out, though. Nah, we're not gonna find out, though.
Day two in New York. Had a great day yesterday. We got two good ones today, man. Introduce your folks.
My brothers from another mother. You dig what I'm saying? I've been knowing the Vamp King for a minute. You know what I mean? But these brothers came out with a new project, The Lobby Boys. But we've been wanting to have Jim on the show, and he just blessed us with bringing Mano too, so we're getting a 2-for-1 today. Jim Jones and Mano in the building.
Yeah.
Appreciate y'all being here, man.
Big Lobby.
Lobby Boys.
Let's get to it. I mean, your interaction is like family, so how'd y'all meet?
We met y'all a long time ago. We didn't like each other.
Look.
Let's just get it right out the way.
We did not like each other.
Yeah, I like how you ordered his drinks. I ain't showing up with 300 niggas every time I seen him. No, we had mutual friends. We ain't really. I can't say we ain't get along because we ain't know each other. You know, sometimes you know you can judge things from the outside, right? So it's like you can look at somebody like, I don't like this nigga, right? Until you get to meet him,
right?
And you say to yourself, damn, this nigga like. We like some of the same shit. We do some of the same things, and that's how it was. We knew each other from the outside, and that representation of our images, and you know, plus I was saying slick shit, so it was like, you know,
plus
a lot of slick
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
But why don't you tell him what you said.
You said
Jimmy getting bigger.
Yeah,
now,
something
right?
about Jimmy getting bigger now.
Your raps, though?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had that type of energy.
I see.
Right? And what happened was, when we clicked, we clicked.
Yeah,
we clicked.
It wasn't no second guessing.
It was just like love from the door.
I thought you were about to say love at first sight. I'm about to say, what are you talking about, bro? You're bugging. Way too early to talk like this.
You're bugging, bro. We up here. Listen, you can't be this high yet.
You can't be this high yet.
We've been debating, enjoying. I think we live in a hamster wheel so much that we don't get to enjoy our successes or what we accomplish. We always on to the next thing. We've been talking about that the last couple of days, of kind of appreciating what the fuck you've been through, you overcame, right, what you've accomplished.
That's right.
But also, presence is important.
Y'all retired, y'all got millions, and y'all get to live the rest of your life however you want to. You heard? You already did the hard part. Now it's about balling and living.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is you had on your bucket list, you got the money to make the bucket list go on, nigga. If that's a South of friend, whatever it is you niggas feel like you need to do, y'all could do now. Basketball was the hard part. Mm. That's what I mean? As much enjoyment as you got from
it. Right, right.
That was the hard part. You had to go through injuries. You had to go through days and days of
You don't miss the game.
Nah, I love what I'm doing now.
I love the game, but I don't miss out on this
one. There it is.
I love what I'm doing now.
You'll need something else to fulfill that void that you're missing in.
I coach my kids, so that's kind of my game now.
That's
how I get my shit in box.
So they couldn't pay you. They couldn't pay you to get back on the court right now?
Nah.
No amount of money?
You just don't want to do it.
I can't.
I'm not going to go out there and embarrass myself.
I've been 5 years removed. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, my body ain't going to do it.
I can always play, but it's just like getting off that bike is
serious. Why you starting so much trouble?
It wasn't.
What is your problem?
We was talking to Grant Hill.
We're going to get to you next, buddy. What is your problem? Why did you try to flinch at Kobe? He didn't move. Did you feel bad after that?
Nah.
Kobe was cold with that one. You tried to do that. Kobe was like, bro, dog.
He loved me for it. But no, Grant Hill was sitting right here yesterday, and he said, whenever, throughout my career, whenever I had some shit, it was never with me one-on-one. It was me defending my teammates. Kobe shit was different. Me and Kobe was about that. We always had a mutual respect, just a back-and-forth respect, because I saw him at UCLA when he was young, and I was in college, and so there was a mutual respect. But Kobe was obviously a physical killer, but like a mental giant too. He tried to physically fuck you or mentally fuck you over too, so that the grabbing, the elbowing, the shit that the refs wouldn't call. And I was just tired. He hit me in my sternum and knocked all the wind out of me. The refs just looked at me, so I was trying to fight him. I told him, bro, I was trying to fight you, bro. So I the ball fake shit just happened. It wasn't.
You did a lot of punching though.
You swinging.
You was with it. I wish you lucky to say not sure. I'd have had every clip. Right now,
you did a lot of punching.
You got a highlight viral reel.
That's how me and Jack just got along. We was very similar from that standpoint. Then when he came to our team in 07, 06.
They like the basketball lobby boys. You noticed that?
Could be.
They like the basketball lobby boys.
I like that name.
We're going to get the shirts made, basketball lobby boys. Definitely. Those are the guys.
We don't have lobbies in Texas, Port Arthur, Texas. Shout out Pimp C and Bun B, but
I know the walls.
We got our own version of
lobby. Fourth floor, that's the lobby.
Yeah. Side, Port
Fifth
Arthur.
Floor,
yeah.
That's the lobby.
Yeah. We got our own version.
Yeah. The lobby. Any corner that you congregated on,
that's a fact.
trying to hustle, trying to get a dollar with your guys, that's the lobby. That's any place in the street you face adversity and trying to get out of that, that's the lobby.
I figured that.
The lobby is just our fifth floor. That's our version of all the inner cities throughout the country. But we got lobbies. You
word,
did. Y'all
word.
Got corners. Some mm-hmm. niggas got the wards. Some niggas got the projects. It's all a representation of the same thing.
Same
and
thing.
What we try to show people is the unity and the things that we came up against and how we came over it. Damn. And we still a work in progress and trying to show people an example of what you can be coming from nothing.
Coming from that's different lobbies, too.
Right. Coming from that pain. So it didn't matter if it was the courtyard, the behind the building, on the project benches, in front of your building, because certain places is built geographically different, it's still the same thing. Well, we congregated as young kids with dreams, some of us had NBA dreams, some of us had dreams to be the biggest drug dealer, whatever it was. We lost friends, we lost family members. Those times is what made us who we are today, right? Mm-hmm. Y'all live in testament of hard work, of progress, and y'all made it out. We did the same thing on our side. Mm-hmm. You understand?
So on a whole different level, because I know what you've been through. So on a whole different level.
Yeah. That's right, indeed. A lot.
Different roads lead to the same place if you mm-hmm. if you focus. Like y'all chose early to use basketball as the vehicle to get out of your situation.
The vehicle to get out. Yeah.
Same thing for us. We figured out our vehicle. Our vehicle ended up being the music and the entertainment and shit like that. Even for Manu, he's even more iller because
He had a way iller start, a way harder start than anybody coming back from damn near where Bane and them was at. My man shining right now, you heard?
Bane.
He was with Bane and them.
I was with Bane. Yeah, definitely was with Bane. Fucking big Bane. I like that. Batman. Yeah.
Hey, what?
No, I got the fucking new suit.
I got the new suit.
Don't do this. You embarrassing me, bro. I got the new suit.
I'm cool with the Batman on Batman, but he don't want to come to grips that he got the old suit that go pow, boom. And I got the Dark Knight shit, this shit that come with all the amenities. My suit come with all amenities. That shit is like a 7-star hotel, my Batman suit. All amenities, you heard?
That they had in the cartoon.
Oh, this is crazy.
Comic books, bro. You don't have a TV suit.
Y'all got another question? Because we're going to go through this all day, bro.
Bro, I don't want to argue with you today, bro.
Both of y'all give me two artists y'all idolized growing up.
Tupac?
Tupac definitely one of my top.
That's like,
nothing we got in common. We love Tupac.
Yeah.
Tupac. But then after that, it's like, I can't really put a finger on it. Maybe, like, but then it was like Rakim. Then it was like Big Daddy Kane. Then it was like Slick Rick. Then it was like, yo, I was telling somebody yesterday, like, I learned how to drink liquor through hip hop music.
All the real ones. E&J was Nas,
E&J sitting bent up in the staircase. Tupac put you on a Thug Passion. Niggas wasn't drinking Hennessy till Tupac started saying Hennessy because we was drinking E&J because that's what Nas told us to do. And then we had the St. Nas. Now niggas were doing all the St. Nas. We started drinking the St. Nas. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
You start drinking off of hip hop.
Real shit.
You heard?
Biggie.
Yeah.
You ever thought about that? Niggas really
start
drinking off of hip hop.
Niggas did a lot off of hip hop. 100%.
It's definitely a blueprint to
life.
See, the music was a soundtrack to lifestyle that was already happening. It just broadened it. You know what I mean? Like, the things that rappers was talking about were already things that was going on. Like,
Dr. Dre.
You know?
What was that? Nigga, Tangeray, nigga.
Oh, yeah.
Seagram's Gin, nigga. Yeah, niggas wasn't on that till Snoop and them start talking about that Tangeray and that Seagram's Gin. That was a West Coast drink. We wasn't on that.
Right.
Soon as he said that, niggas was on that Tangeray. Let's see what this Tangeray is about. My lying?
But that's the facts. Culture for you.
Y'all was there.
Facts.
It's influential.
Very.
Right? It's very influential. And here we are today, many years later, and we the biggest influence in the world.
Facts.
Been that.
Right.
We've been at it, it took a while to admit it, but we finally starting to monetize off it. That's why they're starting to recognize it now, because they've always been telling our stories. That's why shit like this is important. What y'all do is important to show motherfuckers, like, damn, those two did this, or y'all two, they did, like, that's it shows right. anybody
that's
can do
right.
it.
That's right, because at the end of the day, it's about inspiration, bro. Like, we here for a certain amount of time, right? Then we gone, right? And it's about not how long you live, but how well you live and what you did, what impact that you made. I want to do something that is very impactful. I want to do something that I want to die a legend, my nigga. Because either you die a legend or they just won't remember.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Mm-hmm. So it's important on what you do with the time that you got right now.
Okay? Thanks. Sports fans, both of y'all Knicks fans.
I'm a Knicks fan and Nets fans. I'm from Brooklyn.
I'm a Knicks fan because I'm always a Knicks fan. That's just in my heart. But they've disappointed me so many times.
Depressed life to live, ain't it?
I was done when John Starks went 3-for-21 after he dunked on Michael Jordan the game before. Just ruined it. But I'm going with Golden State for the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When did music come in the mix for y'all?
Music always been in the mix. Since I'm a hip-hop baby, since my mom was teaching me how to break dance in the living room in the Bronx. But when it turned into business for me is a few years before my grandma passed, Cam and Bloodshed, Derek, God bless, they always was rapping and things like that. They always was into it heavy. Then they started doing freestyles and they started becoming very dope in Harlem and things like that. My grandma passed, Cam and Mace went to school. They both ended up getting kicked out and had to come back and live with me because they didn't want to tell their parents they got kicked out of school. Those few months of them living with me, they got heavy into music. Mace ended up being the breakout artist, ended up getting the deal with Diddy, coming back and snatched Cam, got Cam the deal through Biggie. And once Cam came back home, it was lit since then. And we had ups and downs through the music, but overall, here we are right now.
So when they hit, what year was that?
That was like 96. We graduated in 94. They went to school. Came back at the end of 95, started going crazy in 96. I think May signed in 96 and Cam signed in 97.
That's crazy. You don't really have three childhood friends like right. that all blow up that's like that. That's crazy.
That's a crazy
bro.
Story.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I've been a diehard hip hop fan since whatever, but I never ever had an aspiration to be a rapper. Never. Never thought about, never had a dream, never had any inkling, never nothing. I never wrote raps, never nothing. I was in the street very early in my life, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I wound up doing a long time. And during that time I was in prison, you know, I was a young kid, so.
What age you go in at?
At 17.
You got out at what age?
27. So I was getting into a lot of trouble in prison though, right? So I was always in a box. I was like a, you know, problematic. And you know, them people that put you in a box for years, right? So it's the SHU, a special housing unit, they put you in there, they shit you down for a year, 2 years. So I was in those, I spent almost 4 years, you know, all together like that.
And most people lose their mind.
Right. But those, see, that's the thing about having will, strong will, because mm-hmm. under those conditions is when I became a stronger person. Under those conditions is when I even started rapping. So I started rapping because it was like, just past the time. Like, man, then you know, it's fun to do. So I get up, I'd be in my cell, right? I would write a rhyme. It'd take me down there the whole day. Before I know it, the whole day is gone. Mm-hmm. And it started to feel good to do it. And then I would play with the idea, like going home to do it. Like, man, maybe I go out and do this. And I'm like, nah, I ain't no fucking rapper. So it's just as much as I was a fan, I had never thought about music in a business aspect until I started to say, maybe I should try it when I got home, because one of the scariest thoughts while being in prison is not knowing what you're gonna do when you mm-hmm. get out. So I'm from the street. That's it. I was nothing else. Everything I've ever done was in the street. I've never been productive in nowhere else. I've been two places in my whole life: prison and the street. That's it. And when I got out of prison, I went back to the street. So music was a way out for me. Mm-hmm. So when I caught the bug, It was everything for me. This is why I'm smiling like now today.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Life is good.
Save me, baby.
Saves a lot of us.
Save me.
It saved us in the fact that the direction we was headed in was not a good direction from a young age. Mm. And the fact that we got a chance to do that deal so young, like we were all 18, 19, something like that. It saved us from a lot of things that we were heading into. Even though we still went in the wrong direction, we had some balance because we knew we were in a different position. But for the music to start for me until later on in the 2000s, after Cam and them figured it out. But Cam and Mace always told me how to rap, and Cam always made sure I was on every single album he had. He was like, boy, once you figure out how to rap the same way you act in these streets, it's gonna work for you, just keep going. Mm. And that's all I always gotta give credit to where credit is due and shit like that. It would be no Jim Jones if it wasn't for them guys and shit like that. And I end up catching on, because they started making, I was doing everything. Directing, security, engineering, but they was coming in every night, 30, 40,000 off that show money. I was like, no, I got to figure this out. I got to really get into this rap mode. And that's what really propelled is just seeing all the success
that
they was having.
The first joint y'all did, when you, like, it was on Cam first tape, right?
First album, Me, My Moms, and Jim.
Exactly, I remember that. Remember that like yesterday.
Fresh as a Fire was his first album. Yeah.
One of my favorite shits was Certified Gangster. You did with Game.
That was dope.
That shit was hard.
That was a great experience. That was a good time in my life. I was the first person to bring Game to actually New York. This is when me and Game really, 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 really tight were. Like, that's my guy. And she's still my guy to this day. But at that time, we were moving in one accord, bring him to New York. Shouts to Forbent RP, was his best friend at the time. I would go to L.A. and then ride through all Bompton. Shouts to Term, y'all know Term.
Of course.
Hey, Term, the most name. Term had his own segment. He came on the show with BD, because that nigga been shouted out probably 50 times on the show.
He has a great bridge from, you dig? Especially on the West Coast and things like that. And he got a real
good
heart.
Dude.
You know what I mean? That's
good
family dude. And things like that. But yeah, shouts to Game, shouts to Certified Gangsters. That's what really started it all for me and shit like that, just being a fan. I was really a fan of West Coast music and West Coast movies. You know, at that time, Menace to Society, Boys in the Hood, gave us a whole different look on what life was from a whole nother. And it really turned in Snoop and Pac and all of that. It just started. So I always was a fan, and end up getting that beat from Bang. Shout out to Bang, Chicago. I was like, wow, this is my speed. I gotta do this Eazy-E joint over and shit like that. Hard. I went to the night, that studio that night where Cam was there. Cam was in there and he ended up doing the last verse that night. That's how I got Cam
on
the record.
That shit was tough. We ask all NBA people, like, what was your welcome to the NBA moment? When do you feel like your welcome to the music moment? Like, damn, motherfuckers really know my name now. Not through the streets, because of this music, though.
For me, it was a song called Rumors. So I've come, when I get out, I was in a mixtape game, the DVD game, right? So, you know, this is back when Smack DVDs was everything. That was my introduction into the game, and then I did a song called Rumors.
You talking about me in this
song? No, not that one, nigga.
Not
this
one? Not that one. You talking about me in that one?
You came after that.
Yeah, you came after that.
I was trying to make get the record straight.
You definitely came after that.
All right.
You came after that. that was my initial, like, damn, niggas know my name outside of the street. Like, right. Niggas, it's the music business is talking about me. And actually, I got my first record deal off that song, which was I had signed to Universal Motown.
What year was that?
This was 2005.
I thought she was only signed to Atlantic.
Nah. I originally got signed because when I did the song Rumors, he said, she said, right? I heard Shook Smack Game. Shook Smack Game.
That was that one.
I was talking about mad shit. And then I got a record deal off that and I thought it was on. This was like, I had just came home maybe 18, 19 months before that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, it was
lit. All the chains. I was wearing the black tank tops.
Definitely.
I got the picture.
Yeah, I thought them died out in like 12 or 13. The V-necks. I thought they did.
The V-necks? Yeah, I didn't know one day until my son was like, yo, what you doing, dad?
Because I caught him with the V-neck that went down.
That was never in style.
Scratch, love and joint.
That one was never in style.
He said, that is God.
That was never in style.
That was a foul. That was a technical foul. You know who used to wear that? Like dudes that, like funny different style dudes that went to clubs. You would see them. They had them like, whoa, this dude
nipples
is
out.
That's crazy.
Man,
that was
fuck all that. Coat on top, man. And that was just a small gold chain.
Showing his navel.
Nah, this is crazy.
That was bad.
That's a super V.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
it. I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Who are some of the OGs in the music space that kind of helped y'all along the process? You mentioned Cam, obviously. Any others?
Well, Cam was my brother. We grew up together. And that was a thing. We didn't have nobody above us to help us. We learned our lessons by mistakes, by running into the wall, trial and error. And by the grace of God, he kept us whole and we figured it out. But for the most part, I would say Dame came in later on and helped Cam a lot. And through him helping Cam a lot, it helped all of us with the Diplomats when that whole Rockefeller transition came through and things like that. So that was like the closest thing that we would have to somebody coming in and really giving us some understanding of what we had. But for the most part, it was just all us. We were pretty smart and we knew what we wanted and we knew how we wanted to be perceived and things like that. And that's how we ran. When we got in the building, we did everything ourselves. They'll tell you, we had in Rockefeller, we had our own offices, went downstairs, jumped on tables and marketing meetings, let them know how Diplomats wanted to be seen. Like, I was getting money for, what they call that?
Consultant?
Yeah, I was getting consultant money from Def Jam, like 10 grand a month, just because of how creative we was and shit like that inside the space. And you know how the streets was connecting to the music very heavy back then, and we had the streets hand down. So,
For me, it was Kim for me, Lil Kim for me.
Okay.
So when I came out, she embraced me. She opened up her house, opened up her doors, opened up her platform for me to come around, for me to have a peek into the industry. I'm standing next to a superstar, right? You know, I got to meet people, you know. So I'm always being indebted to that because. That was my first peek into the game on a superstar level.
Right, that's
a
high level.
That was a heavy look. That was a heavy look.
It was a big look for me.
She had just came back home too, right?
No, it was before she went in and after.
Yeah.
So before I was there, so I was going to the courtroom, you know, when she had the trial, whatever. But for me, it was big because I had just got back. You know, people was starting to know me from the mixtapes and from the DVDs. But now I'm standing next to Kim, so it was a big moment for me. You know, I started to meet different people, Swiss and everybody. So that was my initiative.
Big because you know Brooklyn got that whole mystique.
Yeah,
so
yeah, definitely.
When people start associating you with the whole Kim shit, I'm talking about from my perspective, it was like, boy going in deep, the whole look of it now, heavy on the Brooklyn side, you know what I mean? The hierarchy of the Brooklyn side.
Right.
The top.
Right, yeah.
Was Dame in the streets? Did you know Dame when y'all was younger?
Yeah, I knew Dame for all my life. I knew Dame since I was six years old.
Word.
Yeah, so we grew up in the same buildings. I knew Dame actually before Cam moved in that building when he was like 13. Cam moved over to 1199. Dame was always different. He went to private school, some fancy private school that he hustled and helped put himself through and shit like that. He lost his moms at a young age, so I watched Dame navigate through the streets by himself. East Side Kid, where we was at 1199, they considered us to be privileged because those were the newest co-ops in Harlem and things like that. And they was the high rises and things like that. So mm-hmm. it was just a little different. So to watch him navigate from the east side and go to the west side. West side was like OK Corral back then. That was like you had to, it was like showtime over there. So if you knew niggas that came back from the west side to the east side, and Dame lived in our building. So he was bringing back all that west side flavor. He had cars since he was 15 and shit like that. So Dame was outside and shit like that. I mean, so for the east side, he was looking like the end-all be-all. Like, this nigga gotta be a drug kingpin. But on the west side, he just was a merely regular nigga hustling out there. You dig? Because that was the west side. That's what everybody did and shit like that. But for us, him coming back and forth, it was definitely dope. So I take nothing away from him. He had us in awe when we was younger and shit like that. Then going all the way up to the days when you would see Jay pull up, when they had the Lexuses and all that shit, and they was get money back then. I can say that they really was doing whatever. I can't say what, I mean, legend has it. I was outside and watching what's going on. Legend had it. They was really into what they was into, and watching Cam and my man Duke definitely making them runs across the bridge to the address that they be talking about. And I was on the west side at that time of going back and forth and shit like that. And, you know, shout out to Dame. He was a very instrumental person in our life coming up on the east side before music. He was always Dame into what he, mopeds. I give it to him. You dig? Coming through with Hustler, Big Stacks and shit like that. Like, you dig?
Let's get to the Lobby Boys album. How did this come up? How did this come together?
We talked about doing this years ago. This was something that we've been talking about doing. Back when Puff and Ross used to say that they was the Bugatti Boys, right? When they used to call, remember that? When they used to call themselves the Bugatti Boys, thought that was going to be an album or something. But, you know, we did a song back then, and Capo said, shout out to the Bugatti Boys, but me and Maino, we the Lobby Boys. And when he said that, I instantly understood what he was meaning, like where we come from, you know? So we talked about actually doing a tape or album back then. But, you know, sometimes, it's all about timing.
Timing is everything.
It's all about timing. And it wasn't the right timing. And now is the greatest timing. It's no better time than now. It's no better time than now.
I feel we captured the moment.
So tell us a little bit about the album. Who y'all got on the album?
We got Fab on there, Benny the Butcher, Young M.A.
Young Blue. Styles P.
Favio.
Davies.
Yeah, definitely.
New York, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
You got that little workout gym group, don't you?
Yeah, Fitlit.
What's it called?
Fitlit.
I've been following y'all doing
that's
that.
All of us.
How'd that come about? That shit is dope.
I started as talking shit inside of Maine's restaurant, Chelsea House. It's like New Year, or day after New Year.
It was the day, or was it before New Year?
One of the Fab had this.
Fab had this diet plan. He said, yo, we should start this diet plan in the new year. So we said, fuck it, let's do it. And we said, we might as well work out. Once we started, we never stopped.
Yeah.
You know, and it's different because for me, I always worked out probably on and off my whole life. But I will always do some time and then stop and do a little bit more. But now I'm way more consistent because now I got people to work out with. So when we go on our group chat and I see that Fab is going in the gym, I'm going to jump up and say, I'm going to meet you over there. You know what I mean? And we all end up in the gym together. So it just makes it fun and it makes working out easier. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was a big initiative. Like I just acquired some property that they all gonna put some money in so we could finish building out the gym, which give us a piece of real estate for people to actually come visit.
Y'all are building your own gym?
We already have it and stuff like that. So now we gonna put all the equipment and make it look all nice and dope, and you know, people come by. But it's deeper. We're gonna do NFT memberships. We got these boot camp courses that we're gonna start. That's not like your regular boot camp. The idea is to make you feel like you actually came to the club to party instead of working out, but you're gonna be working out. So you're gonna have some of the dopest DJs inside of the gym. You might catch some performances with some of your dopest rappers. You dig? Like, so it's a whole initiative that we have that we're gonna bring forth to the table that mixes the actual culture with fitness. Because I don't know if our people know how much money it is inside this fitness world. Y'all know because y'all are athletes. But for the average rapper or musician or artist like myself, I don't think they understand that. That's a multi-billion-dollar industry that is synonymous with music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. every one of them athletes listen to music while they training and all that. So it's a, right. You know what I mean?
Like, but it's also health and wellness, and it's something we don't talk, eating right, working out. You know what I mean? Right. Shit we don't necessarily talk about enough if you're not an athlete itself. Right. So it's important from that standpoint.
Yeah, I'm not
too
into the dad body shit these niggas running around talking.
I can't do
like,
it.
Like, what the, I don't know what the fuck that is, bro. Like, that, like, boy, you look crazy, nigga. You look stupid. Big stomach hanging out, chains on, so much dead body, bitch. Yeah, like that. I don't care. Do like, it's like balance, you know what I'm saying? You seeing dudes having heart attacks at 32 and like yeah, that's not. Take care. Listen, I'm not saying you got to be in the gym every single day, but balance it out.
Right, yeah.
Right? Because we
stay active.
Stay active because what you don't use, you lose, right? Yeah. So it's, you know, we live in a lifestyle where we up late and, you know, want to be drinking and not eating as well, right? But balance it out because we trying to be here as long as we can.
Come on, man. You only get one turn.
Thanks.
One turn. Favorite collab to date for each of you?
Lobby Boys. Period.
Period.
Period. Greatest. The biggest, the greatest. That like for the city, and hands down, they're saying it's a classic. It's nothing better right now. Slide's the song of the summer.
Yep.
And I feel good to be in a situation because I feel like what we're doing is never been done before.
Yeah,
you never had a situation where artists been in a game and at this point, this late, because the game says that you don't supposed to get better. The game says you ain't gonna have a hit when you after you've been in the game 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is we writing our own narrative right now.
Yeah.
Right? Fuck what they said before. Mm-hmm. Right? You can't do this because you've been in a game and nobody. Nah, fuck all this. Because the only requirement is that the music be dope. And then we didn't did that. We overdid that.
Niggas be fly. You heard me?
Fly as fuck.
The best rapper / basketball player.
For me, rapper /
basketball player.
Current? Yeah. Or just period?
Period.
Period. That y'all seen in action. That y'all seen on the gram. You dig? Because you been to a game I had.
Yeah.
You dig?
Mm-hmm.
Scored 30, 35, something like that against 2 Chainz and them. They won.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about niggas you seen in action really dogging, like playing it in real action. Not- well,
okay, if we talking about seen in action, I only seen 3. You had the best showing. You definitely had the best showing. But he's not I don't consider Chris Brown a rapper.
Nah, he's a ball player.
That motherfucker can hoop.
He could have went to the NBA.
Yeah,
bro, he's
busy.
Different. I get
I played
like,
in
I talk a lot of shit.
Chris Brown get busy.
He can hoop, bro.
Yeah, he get busy.
Chris Brown can hoop. He remind me of Cam when he was younger. Like he's
busy.
I heard that about Cam. I heard Cam was nice.
Cam was a beast. Cam was one of the niggas that could have went to the NBA playing in Rutgers since he was 14. Cam, the All-American, scraping niggas, taking championships in all the tournaments and going head-to-head against Marbury since they've been 15. Mm-hmm. Like real wars against Marbury. Like nasty wars, like you can Shamgard.
All was nice.
You can ask Shamgard. You heard Sham would tell you that's they come from the same hood.
That's what's up.
Cam was bullying Sham, everybody. Like you dig, like in that day.
I love him.
You dig,
like
and this shit is there. Clips,
like
news, clips, everything. His shit is you dig, and you ask
it's
anybody in Harlem.
See, yeah.
You dig,
you can look at him and tell he can hoop though.
Dave can hoop a little bit, can he?
Who?
Davies.
Yeah,
Dave used to be on play college ball and all that. That's how I met Dave. When I first met Dave, is my man Bully little brother. So when he used to come to the studio, Dave was in Baltimore playing basketball in college. KD and all the shit. They used to be talking about KD before KD even got to.
Yeah, Dave have a basketball IQ. He don't just hoop.
Mm-hmm.
He can think the game too. Mm-hmm. Dave actually.
Yeah, he definitely had. Right, he just got.
Yeah.
He
played with KD
trouble.
Though, right? Yeah. They played in college together.
And then the next year he came back like, yo, I need a record. Like, what you mean you need a record, bro? Like, yo, I don't even play ball no more. I'm trying to go to the rap and shit like that. And that's how that shit
is.
Dave Hart.
Yeah.
What's y'all thoughts on hip hop today?
I love it. I love the opportunity.
All aspects of it.
What I'm saying, I love the opportunity that it gets. That some of the stuff that happens, meaning as far as like artists not having the foresight to take advantage of the opportunity, meaning like to me it's counterproductive, right? This is to get in the game after you done been through all of the shit that you done been through in the street.
I've been saying that.
And then and then end up in prison.
Try to get into the streets.
End up dead.
Get money and turn gangster.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
This happens all too often.
It's happening inside at an alarming rate right now.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna lie. We was always into a lot of mischief. You dig? A lot of mischief. The money just gave me an opportunity to get. If I didn't have people to really pull me aside sometimes and save me from the directions I was going, like this game is There's a lot of smoke and mirrors and shit like that. And once they get this money, it propels you to feel like you need to be 10 times of who you was already was and shit like that. So if you was in a position of who I would turn me into an absolute monster and shit like that, and it shouldn't be. But on the flip side of this, I want people to know that this is a business. So when you mm-hmm. ask, do I love all parts of it? Yes, I do love all parts of it. Because it's all about how you approach the game. And I mm-hmm. tell people all the time, you get what you negotiate, not mm-hmm. what you deserve. Word. So if you approach this game with a clear mind thinking and knowing what you want, you're going to get everything that's going to come to you. But if you don't understand the business comes before the artistry, I mean, wait, let's get that back. It says 90% business, 10% artistry. You need a 10% artistry to get that 90% business. But once you get into that business mode, the artistry becomes minute to what you have on hand with the ancillary money you can make from this game, and that's what it's all about. So I'm completely happy with everything that I've got, the ups and downs and where I'm at today, because through it all, it helped me put food on my table. My mm-hmm. family never had to worry about anything, and I live a hell of a lifestyle.
You didn't let it play you off the street, though.
I mean, that's a tricky situation. I mean, I come from a certain thing. So when people, even yesterday when I was at the basketball game, get certain calls like to ask me why I'm still in the, like, I think people think I'm out here trying to prove a point of I'm some type of, I'm not. You dig? In my neighborhood, I'm inspiration to everybody right. that comes about. That's like I difference. Told somebody, the respect that I got, the respect that I earn, it's not right. given where I'm right. from. You mm-hmm. dig? And I right. respect each of them the same way they respect me. That's why the love is there. That's why we can go and have basketball games with no violence in my hood. Right. That's why we can go and rent out the whole restaurant, let the whole hood eat and things like that. It's not saying right. this is something that we do every day, but where we come from, the people need that inspiration. That's mm-hmm. why we call ourselves the lobby. Boys, because we come from that. So if people can't see where we come from and see the better side of the shit, then what type of example are we setting?
Right.
You heard? Like, right. shit, I love 5-star restaurants too, just like everybody right. else. But there's no better gratification than me being able to go on the hood and helping feeding people for a day and things like that. Like,
that mean more.
Way more. Change, you heard? It feed way more better than all these restaurants we've been to, and I'm still able to do that. You dig? I don't go to the hood to throw what I got in people's. That's not. Right. People right. tell you that's never been
that's
me.
Just he, what we feel comfortable.
He, right. Exactly. You dig? And I don't think people understand that. You heard? And I know there's always pinpoint the tragedies that go on, but tragedies go on everywhere. Like right. you can't, when God calls you,
nothing you can
nothing
do.
You could do. He's either gonna call you or call upon you. Just be ready for either choice. You heard? No matter who you are. You know what I mean?
Indeed.
Thanks. You guys both had a lot of love and respect for Tupac, and obviously Big was from out this way. You guys got any stories with either one, interacting with either one of them?
Both my stories are on 125th Street.
I ain't got none of
them. I never met Big, and I never met Tupac, but I seen both of them on 125th Street. You heard? See Biggie on 125th Street jumping out the Land Cruiser with Lil C's. I never forget that day. C's had on the black long construction boots. Now, you got to remember, this is, you heard? 94, 95, 90, like 96. Like, these is that. Cool. So this was like the most mind-blowing thing for me ever. Now, when Tupac was doing Above the Rim, me and my man James walking down 25th, 8th and 7th on the opposite side of Apollo, we going back to the block towards the east side, and nigga hanging out the MPV, my man James tapped me like, Dicko, your man right there, because they knew how much I love, but I almost fainted. Yeah. That nigga hanging out the MPV, bro, I almost died that day, yeah. bro, like, because he was in Harlem.
That's
he used
real.
To be
that's
on the
real.
East side.
You seen him in real life, though.
That's
I ain't real. Never
that's
seen
what I'm saying.
Never
but seen he used to be in Harlem, either. So we used to be looking for this nigga.
Never seen Pop.
He'd be over there at AK, because he did the whole movie was in Harlem, so he ended up finding a hood that he really fucked with, that niggas loved him, and that was over there AK. So we used to run around Harlem all day trying to find Tupac.
Wow.
Like, when he was filming the movie and shit like that.
Wow.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from
crying tears, crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Was it tough when y'all, obviously, fans, was it tough when there was East Coast, West Coast tension for y'all? Or was
That was hella excitement to see that. You dig? Like, it was, because it was for the music. So we were just waiting for the response. Like, oh, Biggie just bombed. Then Tupac just came. Like, this shit. But then when niggas got killed, it turned this shit way different. And it just was music.
That's back when you had the week at that point. For a response. The response might be 2-3 months later.
It wasn't no phone.
No,
it
social
wasn't
media.
Like Instagram.
Yeah.
None of you. The Lord incited what was going on.
You had to read shit in the magazine. Yeah. Like you couldn't go online and pull some shit up. You had to read. Whenever that issue came out, that might have been a 2-month wait.
And that was what we was used to. It wasn't like it was just Tupac and Big. It was like this,
a lot of
these
different
battles
shit
went
on
for years. Yeah. It's the Juice Crew and shit like that. So the responses and everything was something that we was already, you know what I mean?
And it was more exciting, though, because it wasn't oversaturated.
Right.
Now it's just like, you say something now, somebody got a response.
Too much bullshit.
2 hours later.
Yeah.
And they want to up it, and they send an Addy, and it's lit. You did?
Send an Addy, it's lit.
Yeah, so we got quick hitters now. First thing to come to your mind, share 5 dinner guests, dead or alive.
5 what?
Dinner guests, dead or alive.
Richard Pryor.
To be at a dinner.
Tupac.
Okay.
Who else I would have at my dinner? Shit, I don't know. I got a short list. I want Red Fox.
Mm.
Yeah, give me some. I'm gonna give my last two.
My mother, my father, definitely Big, definitely Pop, Nip, Kobe.
That's a nice table.
Sick table.
Yeah.
That's 10, because y'all got two of y'all. That's 10. That works.
We drinking. Eating,
smoking,
laughing.
Good. You're not smoking. You're just catching the contact. You don't smoke? Yeah. So you smoke?
I don't smoke.
Or you only smoke
but with him,
night?
I'm just, I get
guilty
victimized.
By association.
Yeah.
Top five NYC MCs of all time.
Come on, that's a hard one, bro. You can't do that to me. It's hard. Like, when people ask me that, because I used to bust my brain about who the top five, but, bro, these artists are so instrumental to me, and my life is really, like, not the top five.
But that's what it is.
How about personal favorites?
It's your top five.
I'll say definitely Hov at the top of the list, right? He's at the top of the totem pole. Hov, Nas. I want to throw in Fat Joe because Fat Joe is like a person that I really, really, really admire, right? Because
family,
right? Definitely. And the reason why I really admire Fat Joe because there's something about him that he never dies, and I'm inspired by that. That he's lasted eras.
Mm-hmm.
He's been around longer than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he is still just as potent and just as popular, just as relevant as he was in the 90s.
That's crazy.
That right there, so he's definitely in my top five.
Mm-hmm.
How many did I say?
That's three.
Nas.
Hov. Joe,
Nas,
Tupac, of course.
No, it's New York. It's New York. It's New York.
Tupac, right? Of course.
He from New York.
No. He was born in New York. We can't give him New York. We claiming him to be a New Yorker? He didn't rep New York. He was born here. We understand that.
All right. I'm not going to go. All right. We're going to go.
He was born.
Right.
He was born in New York.
Facts.
All right. All right.
He don't identify with being a New York nigga.
I'm going to go Rakim. I would say Slick Rick, but boy, Slick Rick got locked up and cut his legs off. Like, damn, it fucked my whole Slick. My whole Slick Rick thing was like, damn. Like, but Slick Rick, oh, man. Rakim, Slick Rick. Cam and Jewels is off top. Hov, Nas. It was a time where Nas was the end all, be all for me from when he did the barbecue shit to his first album and that whole little run right there. Nas was fly. Helly Hansen's army hats, the safari hats that folded up and all. I took a lot of drip from Nas Page coming up in high school. Who else in New York? Biggie, of course, man. But once again, Biggie was one of them that we didn't get to see his full potential, and I'm so upset with that. Mm. Who else from New York? Let me be clear. Did I say Big Daddy Kane?
Mm-mm.
You said Rakim.
Yeah, but you got to go Big Daddy Kane, even though it's tricky. I'm bugging KRS-One. Did I say KRS? Let me begin.
It's too many.
Let me explain like instruction to a game. See, I'm not the same. In fact, I'm kind of rational. He'll be asking you, who is more dramatical? This one, that one, the white one or the black one? Pick the punk and I jump up to attack one. KRS-One is just the guy to lead a crew. Right up to your face and dish you. Ooh.
So if we go back like that, then I got like an unsung hero that I don't hear his name no more, but he was definitely influential in New York hip hop. It was a time, it's definitely influential in Queens, the hip hop. That's Coogee Rap.
Cool G was crazy.
I think Coogee Rap.
That's why I brought my Maserati. Yeah. We like to eat hardy, party.
I think Coogee Rap kind of is not getting that. He's written out of the.
He was really
the
books, from that.
The real
from that
ones
era.
Know, though.
The real ones know, but it was a time when he was the bar,
mm-hmm.
right? As far as, you know, young rappers, he was the bar because he was talking that talk. He was working with Scarface. Like, he was working with people, what was it, Quick and them in LA.
Crazy.
Cool G was the bar.
Cam, you know what I'm saying?
Nas and them was influenced by that.
He had the little list like Cool G.
Cool G was the guy.
I don't think
talking
about real street shit that niggas really did. Like, niggas was hearing that shit like, yo, busting none, get up and wear my dick on the curtain.
Yeah. He was talking crazy. And I don't think his name comes up enough
in
these topics.
Facts. Y'all heard his name a lot.
That was a good one.
Word.
What's the funniest thing that happened to y'all recently?
Who?
The funniest thing that happened to you recently.
The funniest thing that happened to us recently? Shit, funny shit happens all the time.
Right.
Oh, you want to tell him?
What's
wrong?
About
Our billboard.
Shit. So one time, so we dropped the first song, right? It's called Lobby Boys Anthem. So this everybody, we've been teasing this project like almost a year, and everybody's been like, you know, talking about, all right, Mano and Jim and Mano about to drop this thing. So we come and we drop the Lobby Boys Anthem. We got all black leather on. We looking like, you know what I'm saying, Puffin' Black Rob back in the 90s. Like, you got the fire, the pyro going up. We go hard. So then a person from my camp, shout out to my God, nothing but love for him. He like, yo, listen, I got y'all the billboard. So I'm like, 42nd Street, Times Square, we got the billboard. Like, yeah, you got the billboard. I want y'all to come down at 9 o'clock sharp, and you know, the billboard is gonna get revealed. Y'all can take pictures, do videos. I'm like, oh man, emotional for me. Like, I'm like, damn, my mom's just passed. She would have loved this. I'm like, it's like, damn, this is happening. Man, we get down there.
We still there.
I'm like, yo, bro, what happened? What's going on? He like, it's gonna happen right now.
Five more minutes.
It kept being five fucking more minutes, and then I was getting mad that every time I turn around, he on the phone, I can't hear what he's saying. He like,
we in the middle of Times Square.
Times Square.
We done told our mothers that, yo, we got listen, the billboards up on it, yo,
we got
bro.
People coming over, they taking pictures with us. We just standing out there like this. What the fuck is happening right now? Like, and he over there on the phone like, I'm like, yo, bro, what's going on? He like, nah, five more minutes. It's about to happen. It's going to be 9:58.
So we still waiting 5 more minutes for our shit to come out.
We still waiting right now.
Right there. You never said what happened.
It was some type of glitch or something. And he put me on the phone with the dude that was running it.
They
said
got
it was
right.
An issue. They got it right because we had billboards and stuff like that. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
If you could remember by one bar lyric that you spit, what would it be?
Oh, man. Off the Lobby Boys.
Period.
My life is up and down. My life is up. I said, take a look in my eyes, see the places I did crime at. Life is up and down. I was down, had to climb back. And that mean a lot to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you measure man by what? Not how many times he been down.
How many times he get up.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
God bless my aunt Vi this past. She's like one of the most influential people in my life. So I started a record that has my aunt Vi said it's a bit of Christ in all of us. She also said there's a time that's gonna come that Christ gonna call on us. Mm. That's how I started off. And the record's called actually Aunt Vi. I had did that before she passed, like last year off my Harry Fraud album. So, you know, that's one of the lyrics that always stick out.
And you said your mom just passed?
Yeah.
Condolences.
January.
Sorry to hear that. Condolences.
All right, last question. If y'all could have a guest on our show, who would it be?
But
before you answer that question,
but
you have to help us get your answer on our show.
What you mean?
Yeah, I fucked y'all.
It's gotta be someone you know.
I don't know if I'm confused or if I'm high.
Both.
Both probably. Yeah, probably, yeah.
Both is good.
So, both. Who would y'all like to see on our show, first of all?
But Tiana Trump.
No. Hold on. But before you answer it, whoever your answer is, you got to help us get them on here.
Crazy.
So it got to be somebody you know.
So it got to be somebody we know?
Yeah.
Somebody you could put a call into. Come fuck with your boys.
That we ain't had because we damn near had everybody.
I thought you were talking about like a basketball player or something.
Nah. Hell nah.
Did you have... AI?
Yeah.
Hey, Alan. You should have Dave East up here.
I talked to him at
that
the fight.
That would be dope, though.
I talked to him at the fight, so I need his line. If you got his line,
that would
pass
be dope,
his line. Dave would be dope.
Yeah. Nah, I was serious about the Tiana Trump thing, though. Y'all might as well.
Yeah, nah.
You got a line on her? Do you got a line on her? It's the question.
Of course.
If you got a line on her, this ain't her platform.
You can talk about basketball.
We got some for y'all. Some box
for y'all, boy. Yeah. Special 420 gear.
Yeah.
Commemorative. Wow.
And if anybody out there watching,
where they leaded at?
Allthesmoke.store.
Man, that's a wrap. Jim Jones, May know. Like
Lobby Boys out
check out
now.
Lobby Boys out now.
Get right it. Now.
Stream it and beam it.
Stream it and beam it. Just don't smoke it. You heard me?
Man, we appreciate y'all, man.
Thank
we
you catch, for having us, man.
You can catch our Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform, Black Effects. We'll see y'all next week.
Jones!
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.